From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2010 when Rochester got its own Fashion Week for the first time. Of course, Milan, of course, Manhattan, many others have created stages for designers to show off, and now Rochester would have the same opportunity. But from the beginning, this event was meant to be about more than runways or the latest trends. Youth homelessness is always in sight during Rochester Fashion Week. That's because the co-organizer of this event is also the executive director of the Center for Youth. She sees kids when they are at their most desperate moments, and she sees the runways as an avenue to raise the community consciousness of the plight of children. This is the 15th year of Rochester's Fashion Week. It comes at a challenging time for the Center for Youth. The United Way of Greater Rochester announced a couple of months ago that many local organizations are getting funding cuts of sorts, and charitable donations are declining in many parts of our country. So for the Center for Youth, Fashion Week likely carries even more importance, and we're going to talk about that this hour. The co-organizer of Fashion Week Rochester, the executive director of the Center for Youth, is Elaine Spall, who's back with us. Hello.
Evan, may I just say you're looking fabulous. So
you're the only one in the studio who questioned that.
No, I did not. So we walked in, and immediately Megan and Natalie and Chris said, wow, and I was a little hesitant, and I'm on board. This is radio, but just
this
so
is getting
you, know,
you nowhere.
This is getting me. This is getting me everywhere. This is how
no
we
one
start.
Can even see what I'm wearing.
He's wearing.
We'll post
okay,
a
he's
picture
wearing a very
of the fit today.
Okay,
and you
a
can
very
decide.
Cool hoodie and a plaid jacket, and he is on point.
All right, am I too old for this? Is that what you're saying?
No, is he Megan? No.
No. Absolutely well, not.
Okay, she's
absolutely
Meg
not.
Meg Mundy's the chief fashion organizer of Fashion Week Rochester. We're actually going to spend 60 minutes talking about my fit. I guess that's what we're doing. I'm not too old for this, right?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, I mean, you're totally killing it.
This is such good radio. No one can even see me. This is fantastic. This is how you do it. A lot of years in the radio business, and we know how to do this. Hey, welcome back, Meg Mundy.
Thank you.
It's great to see you. Hello, Chris Sumner, fashion stylist.
How are you, sir?
Your fit is phenomenal. You're looking great.
I appreciate it, but you're doing your thing today.
All right, see? Look, come on.
It's all about you.
We're going to get Elaine on board here, and Natalie Ray is the owner of Panache Consignment Boutique by Natalie Ray, also owner of Natalie Ray NY, natalierayny.com.
Yes, hey. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here as well. There's a lot of different places we're going to go. But I do want to say this. This is year 15.
And yeah, we missed a year because of COVID. So it's actually our 14th show. But it doesn't matter. We're on board.
And
we're good.
15 years into this thing.
Yeah.
As I said off the top, it almost sounds, again, like I'm an agent for you. I'm not. I don't have to do any PR for you. You do enough for yourself.
Yeah, we're good.
But this is not an event that is just about fashion and trends. Of course, that's, kind of right at the center of it. But Elaine, you want to tell people a little bit about how this came together in the first place?
Yeah, and Meg really is the brains and beauty behind all this, and she'll talk a little bit more about this year. But when you have a partnership that appreciates fashion, creativity, vitality, vibrancy, and just plain fun, and then you link it with an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of those who really are struggling. And I always say, the streets of Rochester are my runway. And Fashion Week has its own beautiful runway, which you'll see at the Convention Center this October, later this month. But we know that because of Fashion Week, and this sounds such a hyperbole, but that's sort of my nature, we opened shelters. We opened another nursery. We kept things going. We didn't redeploy anything in anybody during COVID. We kept everything going, largely because of the enormous amount of support, donations, and just the energy of Fashion Week. And Meg and I say you can look good and do good, and it's not about making a choice. You can be there. You can have the glitz and glam, and of course they all know their outfits. I don't know mine. We know yours because you're going to wear what you have on, I think, at the Friday night show when you're going to be there.
I don't know.
At a VIP table.
You're giving me a crisis of confidence here.
No. They're all on your side. But I'm serious when I say that Fashion Week is probably one of the most unique types of events in the world. If you think about runway shows and what they look like and who we put or who Meg puts on our runways, because she does all of that, they look like us. They're all shapes and sizes, and she'll talk a little bit about why that has been so incredibly important to this community. We're going to add a little bit more to the tables. We're going to have on the tables the locations of all the venues, all the retail shops, so people can look up and say, I want to buy that, and they'll know where to go. We want to make make sure we help our retail operators, because sales are tough right now. It's very, very tough right now. People are still buying online or not buying as much because they're not in the office as much. So we want to help those that stand with us, and all of our retailers and the vendors that Meg has identified this year are by our side in big, big ways. Very exciting.
Well, let me also just ask you, Elaine, because we saw you, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And this is a time in our community when, as we discussed with the leadership from the United Way of Greater Rochester, that there have been funding cuts for a number of organizations, including yours.
Yep.
And you know, according to the United Way, and this is not news, philanthropy is down, charitable giving is down. They're in a hard spot, they say, and they've had to make some hard decisions. So as an example, Center for Youth, which typically would receive something like $600K, is going to be down around 300-something.
Right.
That's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
How much more important is Fashion Week because of that situation?
Well, I will tell you, and I'm certainly not going to name names, people have stepped up for Fashion Week like they never have before. We have donors that are giving upwards of $50,000, $60,000 for Fashion Week that never gave that much before. They get the message. The United Way, we're supposed to call them funding decisions, not reductions. So I'll say they're decisions.
It's a cut. Why can't we? Well, George Carlin would say, call it what it is.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, in order to be, you know, politically correct, which is certainly not my nature, as you well know, we have to we're facing a $215,000 reduction. We also were not funded for one of our shelters. That's another $200,000. At the same time, healthcare and everything else, gas, food, diapers are going up. So we're counting on Fashion Week, and I think the community is going to deliver, Evan. I really do.
Are you at a place now since our last conversation where you feel like with what's going on with donors in the community, with this event coming up, that yes, the United Way cut, you know, it's difficult, but you can weather it?
We have to weather it. We don't have a choice. So you either close a shelter completely or you keep it open in other ways, because you can't cut by 2 days. You can't cut by 3 hours. You either are open 24/7 as we are, 365 every day, 24 hours a day, or you close them. And I'm not closing a shelter, not now. The landscape is changing so dramatically, Evan. You know, we have about 25% of our secondary school young people not coming to school. We kind of gave them permission during COVID to dial it in a little bit, and they're not getting back on
track.
About
huge rates of kids just
huge
not showing up in school.
Huge rates of absenteeism, huge rates. And what happens when you're not in school is that you do things that are not always productive and get you into trouble and get other people into trouble, too.
And you see
some
of those kids.
We're seeing all of that. We're seeing so much of the disengagement. And it's worse post-COVID. It was always kind of tough. Now it's worse post-COVID. So we have school districts I'm reading about that are no longer taking attendance. I can't imagine. That's terrible. And I don't, if they ask me, I'll say don't. I want to know where the kids aren't. Right? I want to know where they aren't when they're not in school.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there is such a landscape is changing so quickly. What's not changing is the gorgeousness of Fashion Week.
Well, we're going to get to the fashions in just a second. Let me close the loop on a couple of points here. When you were on last, we got a couple of emails after the program.
We did.
From people who wanted a little bit more clarity or just wanted to make sure they understood some of the things that were said. So I want to ask you about a kind of donation.
Yeah.
So if someone, and I'm not doing this at all to try to benefit any, I can't. I'm not allowed to try to raise money for anybody but WXXI, and I hope everybody listening is a member. Here's why I'm asking. Just about everybody who has seen the United Way donor forms, like, do you want to give to the United Way? Maybe your company does it. Maybe your organization has done it. Maybe you've been given that form by someone who says, hey, we'd love to have you support it. Most of the time, I've always seen that form carry a line that says, I would like my money to go to X. I'd like to specify where it goes.
Right.
So if I give to the United Way and I say, okay, but I'd like that to go to Lifespan. I'd like that to go to Crisis Nursery. I'd like that to go to pick any number, Baden Street.
Mm-hmm.
That my understanding is that's where the money's going. And I sure hope that's where it's going. Now, what we were told on that program was this. Starting, I guess, now, going forward, that money will absolutely go directly to that organization.
No, that's not accurate. In 2027.
2027?
2027.
Okay, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So from now through 2026, mm-hmm. if you designate on the United Way form,
mm-hmm.
that I want money to go to Center for Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your understanding that that money's going to Center for Youth?
No, it goes to the United Way to offset the allocation they give to the Center for Youth. So the minute I have $386,000, I'm going to get that dollar. Until then, it's going to offset the allocation. It's always been that way. Does the money go towards a Center for Youth allocation? Yes, but as the United Way allocation, not extra money.
Here's why I think it's confusing. I just want to make sure.
It's very confusing, and it should be told that you need to give to the United Way and to the Center for Youth. Don't stop giving. I'm not here to say don't give to the United Way. I'm saying don't think your donation is going to the Center for Youth.
Or Baden Street, or Lifespan, or
Food
Link. That you want,
whatever. Now, if you're not a provider agency, if you have no allocation, then you will have a donor designation. You will get those funds. So let's say you don't have any set dollars coming from United Way and you get $50, that's going to go to that organization, but not to the ones that you think of as the large organizations who have been funded for decades and really truly decades from United Way. Give to both.
Here's why I asked, and I know we're kind of belaboring this point. I think this is important. And I was told on that program it's a distraction. I don't think it's a distraction. I think this matters. Here's why I think it matters. I think when people are giving charitably, they want to feel like they know where their money's going.
Yeah.
And the analogy that I used, let's take, there's four kids in a household, Chris, Natalie, Ray, Meg, and Elaine, all brothers and sisters growing up in a household, and mom and dad give every kid $20 a week as an allowance. That's what you're getting. Now, Elaine, being very, very ambitious, mowed the neighbor's lawn. And the neighbor said, you know what? I'm going to give $5 to Elaine. That was really nice of her for mowing the lawn. And gives the parents $5 to give to Elaine. Now, the assumption is from the neighbor that, yeah, I know she's getting a $20 allowance, but she's getting my $5 too. She's getting $25 for the week.
Yep.
But instead, what I say as the head of household is, well, I'm going to put that $5 towards what I would pay Elaine.
Yeah. You're a very clever man.
And therefore, you're only getting 20.
Yeah, you're a very clever man.
That's
actually exactly what's happening. And the minute that there's over more than the level.
If the neighbor said, here's $50 for Elaine.
Then I would get 30.
Then you'd get 30.
Yeah.
Because the 20 now would be covered because you're allocated 20.
Yeah.
Look at your phone ringing. How many years have you been on this program?
I know,
and you got a
ringing
phone?
I'm so upset. And I could see everyone's looking at me with a stink face.
It's a ring.
Except, and everyone's like, no, it's her.
We literally have two first timers. Their phones are literally on silent. So,
okay.
So closing that loop, the point being, I use that analogy because people should know that until 2027, if you give the United Way and you give in a way that specifies money, it does go toward that organization's allocation.
Yes, yes.
But if you're allocated $385,000.
Yes.
And I said, I want to give $50 to your organization, you're not getting $385,050. You're still getting exactly $385.
That's correct.
Unless all these other donations come in over $385.
That's correct.
Which is a surprise to me.
That's correct.
That's I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's why Fashion Week, which brings in unrestricted dollars, is so essential. Because one of the things, and we really want to talk about fashion, but one of the things that's happened with the funding decisions, reductions, is that we can't make our federal match dollars. So I have HHS money. 20% of that comes from my own budget. United Way helped me do that. I don't have that money now. I have to find it. Otherwise, I have to forego my federal grants, which is a big fusseroni. We're not going to do that. Or Crisis Nursery has cut. Foodlink has cut. Foodlink feeds the Crisis Nursery. Double whammy. So there's a lot of work to be done, and we're all doing it together. We'd like to do it with United Way. We'd like to still raise lots and lots of money for United Way, but we have to be on our own a little bit more. That's why I'm working so hard for Fashion Week and why these amazing people who are here today are going to make those shows better than ever. But it's a hard time. The hard time for me is that we have so many young. That's what's hard for me, a 17-year-old sleeping in front of the convention center on a bench because I don't have enough beds. Nobody else is delivering homeless programs. The child who's 3 years old, nonverbal, needs an enormous amount of care at the crisis nursery, increased staffing just to keep him safe and keep him from addressing and hurting his seven-month-old brother who's upstairs in a crib. That's what's hard times for me. And that's why Fashion Week, the Thursday show, will represent our net house, our LGBT house.
Let's go through the whole schedule.
Okay, but let's
last question I have on this then.
All right.
It is not my intention to paint an overly rancorous picture at a hard time.
Right.
And I sat on this program, and I would say it again, I would not want the job of having to run a United Way anywhere in the country right now. It's we see the philanthropy numbers. They're real. They're down. It's tough.
Yeah.
This is not an easy time.
Yeah.
I also felt some tension on that program, and I want to know if you think that the relationships can be strong going forward with United Way.
I think that trust is damaged, and I think we're all going to cut ourselves loose a little bit and stay gracious, but trust has been damaged for sure, for sure. And I think, you know, if you cut me loose, if you say, go find your own money, I'm going to find my own money. And I have. I will tell you this. All the VIP tables on Saturday are sold. All but one table on Thursday are sold. All but two tables on Friday are sold. People are not walking away from giving to Fashion Week. Lots of tickets are available. Meg's going to talk about that and how you can link up. We are not seeing a cutback in support for Fashion Week from corporations, from individuals. Large donors, large, big donors coming in saying, I'm gonna give you money for Fashion Week because I believe in you and what you and Meg have created and what people like Chris and Natalie are going to make come true for us again in this community at the convention center coming downtown because we believe in our downtown. We're not giving up on downtown. Lots of people have. We're not. We're going to keep it safe, though. We have a parking garage with monitors. We have lots and lots of people watching, lots of eyes on the street, in the front, rideshare. We're back, Evan, at a time when a lot of people aren't back.
Rochester Fashion Week runs October 24th through the 26th. That is next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the convention center.
And you have your
outfit.
Don't
go out to the
dome. Have your outfit picked out.
I don't even know what I'm wearing yet. I don't. And I'm not even part of this. I'm just going to be there probably as a dude in the crowd because it's kind of fun. I can't endorse your event here. Don't try to pull me into this. You're very good at this, but you're not going to get away with that. We're having a conversation. If I go at all. Maybe I'm not fashionable enough to go. Have you seen my fashion? It's not. My fit check? Come on. There's no fit check.
The three of the people here think you look fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Meg Mundy is here, Chief Fashion Organizer of Fashion Week Rochester. Always, kids wouldn't know what I mean by this, but dressed to the nines. And can you want to tell me a little bit about how you see the 3 days shaping up so far?
Well, I'm really excited to be back downtown and at the convention center as well. And I see it shaping up beautifully. There's a new energy. There's an ease about the convention center. We have electricity, we have lights. Even though we had that at the Dome, we still marvel at that because for so long we moved in tents or different spaces. But I see it shaping up really well. The enthusiasm's there. We've got new designers, new models. Every year we try to bring something new. So I'm feeling good about it. I can feel my energy level just getting excited. And it's going to be amazing.
Tickets still available, yes. Fashion Week Rochester. Is it fashionweekofrochester.com?
It's fashionweekofrochester.org. And tickets are on Eventbrite. And we have lots and lots of Instagram posts, and so you can get your tickets there. Thursday night we have a really cool thing. We've got some mini ponies on the runway with this cool rodeo group that's coming in from Albany.
Mini
ponies.
Ponies.
I had to clear it with the convention center. And I did. I talked to Jim and I said, listen, I know you think we're a little crazy, but can I have some ponies? And he was like, yeah.
Are they coming Friday?
Thursday. Thursday's okay. The ponies are coming all the way from Albany. And then this little girl's got to go off to like the world champions. So we like to kind of branch out to animals. All different kinds of people are included on our runway.
Ponies have drip.
Total drip. Of course. These ponies are going to be the drippiest you've ever seen.
Well, they'll probably poop a little.
No, but do you think I don't factor that in? I have somebody dressed to the nines on the runway in each walk with a pony that has a shovel. That's all. You just have to forward think. And I'm good at that.
You're very good at that.
Thursday night, it opens October 24th. That is 10 days away. 10 days?
Just about.
That sounds about
I
right.
I started a huge diet today. I think I need 10 days, yeah.
10 days?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to take us through kind of the themes of the rest of the events here before we talk to the designers?
Sure. Thursday is our opening night. We've got a new bridal boutique called Pittsford Bride. We have the ponies, as I mentioned, and we have a new company called Indigo Tone. She's going to tell you what colors you should be wearing, and that's a really useful tool to see what's going to make you look your best. Friday is our family night, and we have a new event on Friday, which, well, we did it in the spring. It's called Self-Expression, and it's this amazing show where kids can express themselves on how they want the world to see them. And what I love about this is I really encourage them to kind of go out with their moms or and buy something they like. Don't do something from Instagram or any of these other TikToks. Do it from your heart and soul. And I think that's very important to kind of just go back to the old days where you actually shop for something and decide what you like and don't let anybody else tell you. I think that's kind of a lost situation. So then we have Chris is going to be one of our silver foxes on Friday. And then I saw his style, and it was so amazing. I asked him to style an entire walk on Thursday night. So that's exciting pressure. To have Chris.
So much pressure.
Then Saturday night we have Brand Bar.
Oh, don't forget the Swifties.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my goodness.
The Swifties. The Swifties is, we did a whole casting call at Panache by Natalie Ray, and we have Swifties on the runway. We had them come to a casting call wearing their best Swiftie outfit, and then we picked them, and actually, it was so cute. Mm-hmm. The first person that came in early was this little 7-year-old girl, and she had her microphone, and she had her whole Eras outfit, and she was doing her walk, and her mom was there, and her grandmother was there, and that's what I love about Fashion Week is the generational love that comes. Everybody comes to the runway.
Yeah. That look is everyone from like 4 years old to I think there was like a 65.
Yeah. We did have the 65.
So that was awesome.
We had a great turnout. Then Saturday we have a new company called Brand Bar, which is, you can go there. It's in the old North Face out in Victor. You can go there and have a cocktail and shop, which is really, really great.
Brand, B-R-A-N?
B-R-A-N-D.
Brand Bar.
They also have a store in Buffalo.
So it's like Brand Bar, like, you know, like a Mueslix bar. No, Brand Bar.
Mm-hmm. Brand Bar.
See, there you go.
And they've got amazing brands. They have Farm Rio, but it's like aesthetically, it's so beautiful to shop. We're opening the Saturday show by a company called Ultra Rental, which is out in Ontario, and people think I'm crazy, but they are doing a whole show. It's kind of, think Village People, but models dressed in bright coveralls with signs saying Beauty Crossing. This woman, that Judy Fishgold from the Ultra Rental, is so creative. So that's going to be, they're going to have lasers, and they're going to have leaf blowers that actually blow bubbles. So it's just a wild way to open it. And then after that, we have another new bridal boutique called Bridal by Jay. And we have Omero's, which is a beautiful men's custom company. So some of our old favorites. So it's just the excitement changes every night, but it also builds to Saturday being our finale. And every night is good. Tickets on Eventbrite. VIP tables, there are a few still available.
Not for Saturday, but Thursday.
Not for Saturday. Okay.
One for Thursday, one for Friday. Yeah, we're good.
So it's fashionweekofrochester.org if you want information there. After we take our only break of the hour, we're going to talk to some of the people responsible for some of the fits that we're going to see.
Getting a text saying, please tell Evan to chill about his outfit. He can wear whatever he wants.
This is from
a friend. He's just saying, stop picking on Evan. It's not my husband. It's somebody else. Meg can help him.
You got to get Malcolm in this kind of a fit. I want to see him in comfort with, you know, like a suit coat. Sneakers. Come on, let's go.
Well, he's got sneakers, but he's not wearing
them. Everything's changed. I mean, like, it's...
Well, it's changing.
And I probably
would
have been
Meg
more uptight.
But Meg can help you, I promise.
If I was 25, I'd be more uptight.
He doesn't need help? He doesn't...
At 25, I would have been more uptight about this. At 45? Like, it's... You know, I mean, like... I'm pretty comfortable realizing I'm not cool.
Well, you know, cool is in the eyes of the beholder.
You, on the other hand... Ageless, endless. All right, let's take this only break of the hour. We'll come right back. And we are going to talk about some of the other themes here with the designers who are with us here. They'll talk to us on the other side of this break. I'm Evan Dawson, Tuesday on The Next Connections. Cynthia Elliott, the president of the Rochester City School Board, joins us in the first hour, talking about the search for a new permanent superintendent, a vital choice for the district. We'll find out where it stands. In our second hour, talking about criminal justice, and especially how it affects youth in our community. Talk with you Tuesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Chris Sumner is, we're going to make sure everybody can see the fits in the studio here. Have you always looked good, this good, or did this like, did this evolve?
If I show you my kindergarten picture, when my dad had me in a tan suit with a brown bow tie, yeah.
All the way back.
My father instilled in me a long time ago, and to this day, at 50 years old, when you look good, you feel good. That's my motto.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Rochester, but my father's military. I left at 6. I lived, Oklahoma, Texas. I lived in Germany for 12 years. So I came back here, in 99. Been back ever since.
You keep any German?
Schuligan. Excuse me.
A little bit.
Yeah, when you're a teenager and you're in Europe, you don't take it serious. So I flunked German. I was trying to come back to the States.
Chris, where do people find your work? Tell me about the work that you're doing there.
Well, I style a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can get stuff from, I kind of pride myself on being the king of remix. So I could take a pants from this suit, a jacket from that suit, buy a new shirt, maybe a tie. Got a whole new outfit.
And how do you find? I mean, it's okay. Hey, it's all right. This is just the Elaine hour. Whoever, if anybody want to call Elaine, call her now. Call her now. Just answer that on there. You can take it. You're just on the radio.
People want me to say something. Yeah, but no, get on your own show. This is my time with that.
No, it's right. Okay. It's all,
no, it's off.
You can
it's off, Megan. It's off. Go
We're
ahead.
Not doing anything.
Chris, go ahead.
Because he's got some good things to say.
Are you kidding? I look for anything I can to razz Elaine because she always looks for whatever she can to fire at me. Now, Chris.
Yes, sir.
How are you getting in touch with clients? How are they finding you right now?
I'm going to be honest with you. The power of social media is ridiculous.
It is, huh?
It's ridiculous. I remember during a pandemic.
What platform?
IG.
Insta.
Instagram is ridiculous. Facebook too, but my IG is like, it boggles me. Different people that I talk about celebrities, that will say, hey, man, I like your style. And then conversation. And from there, it goes on. But yeah, I've always been, into fashion.
And so now, how do you feel about this relationship with Fashion Week?
I am, honestly, when she called me, I'm going to be honest with you. I was on my way about to catch a flight, go to Georgia. And when she called me out the blue, I didn't know the number. I wasn't going to answer it. So I didn't know if it was a bill collector or whatever. I didn't know. And so when she called me and she told me who she was, and then she asked me to walk, I said, okay, cool. That's fine. Cool. And I think the next day you called me or later on.
Well, I think I called you and I asked you to do your own show, and you said, this is unusual for me, but
yes,
I'm at a
yes.
loss for words.
Yeah. I thought she was joking. I've always watched the Fashion Week. I'm like, wow, that's nice. I love that. So for her to call me, man, I'm honored. Be amongst these beautiful women and talented women. I'm just an ant.
I doubt that, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, I want to also ask you, and I'll ask Natalie Ray the same kind of thing here. I'm very curious to know if either your work or your own fit has changed a lot since the pandemic. I was thinking a lot during 2020 into 2021, where it was like, we were doing a lot for a while without going out of the house, and we got conditioned to elastic waistbands and not wearing what was in the closet, and then all of a sudden, some of fashion seemed to reflect more comfort, but it doesn't mean that it's not fashionable.
Right.
How much of a change have you seen in the last three, four years, or have we kind of gone away from that in any way?
To be honest with me, the pandemic was a wonderful time for me. I was by myself, and then I grew a beard. And I didn't know how big this whole gray thing was. And
a gray beard?
Yeah. There's a lot of, I'm actually part of one out of North Carolina. We have the Gray Nation. We have the Silver Fox Squad. You have the Salt and Pepper Gang. No, honestly, just Go on Instagram. Look him up. Go on Instagram.
All shows I'd like to do. That's a new addition for shows. Yes. We got the Silver Foxes, we need to add these other two to our runway. Thank you.
We can do that. But during the pandemic, my sister said, Chris, she said, because I couldn't go to the barbershop. So she said, just grow it. And when I tell you, when I grew it, the opportunities came. And then I've always had a flair for style. But during the pandemic, I was able to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this real serious. And then that's when I had the podcast come out and then different people reaching me. And it just blew up. I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't even describe it. Every day I'm texting somebody now, you know, there's a famous rap group. He's a rapper. He just texted me. He wants to do an interview with me. So I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Your beard is symmetrically perfect. Like, how do you have the silver in the
Can I give you a secret?
Yes.
My mother told me this. There's something that you could buy in Sally's. It's called Shimmer.
What is Shimmer?
Ladies, you know what Shimmer is?
I don't really shimmer.
No.
Shimmer?
No.
Okay, Shimmer is a shampoo. You ever see people with gray hair and it look kind of dull brownish?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, like kind of rusty looking? Buy some Shimmer. It's a shampoo and it gives it a shine to it.
Ooh.
During the pandemic, my beard was salt and pepper. Now it's just white.
But in the middle,
and then your mustache
I can't.
It's like perfectly symmetrical.
Well, I'm kind of anal too because I go to the barbershop like twice a week.
Oh.
Twice a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just me. You know, like I said, when you look good, you feel good, you know.
Silver is in, right? Silver's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, women are doing their hair gray.
The gray, you're doing good.
No, if you saw me grow this out, I mean, I could grow a beard in about a week. I don't like it with silver. Nah.
What?
You know, this is where I do get a little insecure. It looks kind of ragged and older. No.
What's James Bond? What's his name? The English guy?
Pierce Bronson?
The other one. O'Connor?
Oh, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Man, get your Sean Connery on, I'm telling you.
But you know what I think, Chris, like what you were saying during the pandemic, you actually need time to get it.
Absolutely.
Like nobody has time. That's the only time that anybody would have had time to stay and not change it because we all have to be out in society and you can't have a scraggy looking beard.
Absolutely. And the products that you use, I'm actually a ambassador for one called Beard. Oh, gosh.
You're a good ambassador.
I know. It just happened.
Hey, listen. Sean Connery, it's over for me.
What?
That's it.
Listen, I can't make this up. I was in Walmart yesterday. You know, that's my place of peace, Walmart. I'm at Walmart when a lady was in a wheelchair. And she said, excuse me. I said, ma'am, she said, so sexy. Oh. This is an older lady. I'm like, wow. One lady asked me, can she rub? And I'm like, no, I don't know where your hand's been. I'm just being honest.
Listen, what better place than Walmart to find a little spark?
Yes, I'm trying to tell you. You know,
you still got it.
Thank you. I still got it.
Well, that's Chris Sumner. You're gonna see Chris's styles on Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night. I got some.
Then he's gonna show up on Friday night as a model for you, right,
yes.
Meg? Yeah. So
yes.
We're gonna have him.
You
twice.
Walking on Friday?
He's walking on Friday.
Didn't I tell you pressure, man?
Pressure, man.
I don't even know what I'm wearing. I have no idea.
You're probably going to decide that afternoon.
Oh, that jacket.
I'm sure you have a
that
morning. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah,
probably that morning
that.
Or that afternoon.
Yeah.
What time the show start?
Right.
About 5:30.
Yeah.
Right.
Fashion Week of Rochester is coming back for edition number 14. It's year 15. They had the pandemic year, but you know we don't talk about that one. You can find a lot more information fashionweekofrochester.org. Natalie Ray is the owner of Panache Consignment Boutique by Natalie Ray. And you can find more at natalierayny.com. So what's your connection here to Fashion Week? Tell me everything that's going on with you here.
Oh, wow. Well, I started participating in Fashion Week 3 years ago, 3 years ago with Natalie Ray. So I have a home decor and handbag line. And then I was dabbling in clothing because I started putting models on the runway, so I couldn't just do bags. So we started dabbling in dusters and skirts and stuff, so I repurposed traditional tribal garments into handbags and home decor, and then some skirts and jackets. So that's how I started in Fashion Week. I got linked up with Meg and Joan, who is the previous owner of Panache. And then, long story short, Joan and I have worked together in her store, Panache, for a couple of years, collaborating with Natalie Ray. She was ready to take the next step in her life and pass the crown on, as we say. So she sold the business to me in December of last year, and we announced it on the runway at Fashion Week. So that was huge. It was a great platform for us to celebrate that and to make that announcement. So I think that it's amazing for the Center of Youth. It's amazing for people like myself and designers and business owners who have a great platform to kind of showcase what we have. Social media is amazing, but it's hard to get new people to see you sometimes. So Fashion Week's been awesome for that. Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Fairport.
From Fairport.
Yeah. And then I bounced around and I came back during COVID.
How do you end up in this kind of world? This kind of line of work?
Yeah. Yes. So I wanted to study fashion. Didn't work out for me. Ended up studying hospitality tourism management. That took me abroad. I really just wanted to study and live abroad. So I did that for many years. I was in Dubai. I was in Italy. And then I did a trip. And I was in Asia for a while. I got linked up with some Hmong women who hand make everything. It's incredible. So I was really inspired by their clothing and how that they hand make all of their garments. So it was just an idea to turn it into something more practical for people here in the U.S. Since they're not wearing their traditional garments. So that's kind of how it started. And then I moved back to the U.S. in 2018. And then I moved to New York to kind of get that up and running. And that was awesome. And then COVID happened and everyone left the city. And so I moved back to Rochester. And that's when everything started kind of falling into place. So I'm glad to be back. I'm originally from here. My family's here. And yeah, now I have a store.
She has a store. She has a husband. He's adorable,
yeah,
by the way. I'm just
going to
say that in case Anthony's listening. I'm just going to say that.
He's listening.
So,
thank you, Elaine. What do you think your experience abroad did to help you working in a city like this, a mid-sized American city, but you've literally been abroad? How does that help?
So I guess it helped in so many ways. Like I'm working with women who don't speak the same language as me. They have different beliefs. We look different. And then art kind of brought us together, which I think was so important. And it's like an expression of yourself. We've talked about this. You look good, you feel good. Sure. And it starts from there. And it was just, I felt like everyone needed to see what these women were doing. They live very rurally, and it was just like this exciting, oh my gosh, I've never seen something like this before. It was really exciting. They loved how excited I was. It was a beautiful collaboration. We still make these bags and everything like that. And then getting into clothing was like a whole nother thing. But moving into New York, I feel like you had asked Chris this before, how has your style changed? I mean, every year is different. You always want to push the envelope and change looks up and see what fabrics would look, how they would look in a different shape or connected with like a linen or a leather. So we're always like pushing it. And then things that you see on other runways in other cities kind of inspire you as well. So I think New York was also took it into like a more of a grunge aesthetic. And then when I moved back to Rochester, it changed a little bit more cutesy, I guess you could say. So we've been all over the board. Yeah.
Both of you having literally been abroad, been here, moved around, mm-hmm. now back here. That perspective is interesting to me because just about every region, every city has this duality where you're very defensive against people who don't live in your city, dog in your city. But you may also have, you know, when you're talking amongst yourselves, might have some negative views that harden over time. I think getting away allows you to see what are the advantages and disadvantages here, and what does this place have that would make me want to be back here? I mean, are you happy to be back? Are you missing other aspects that either in Manhattan or other places? How does Rochester compare for you?
Oh, Anthony is tuned in to this. No, I am so happy to be back. I'm going to be honest. During COVID, I didn't think that I was going to stay. I was ready. I had my apartment for way longer than I should in New York. And I think like the end of 2020, we decided that we were going to make Rochester our home. And so I'm downtown Rochester. Go downtown Rochester. I wasn't quite ready to be back in the suburbs. But there's so much to do here. I am so happy. It's so different than when I grew up. There are so many festivals. There's Fashion Week is huge. I always promote it. I also teach at a cycle studio, and I always talk about different things that are going on in Rochester. And people approach me at the end of class almost every time, and they say, "Wow, I had no idea that there's so much to do here." We get a lot of students that come here for, we have so many colleges, right? Yeah. We have so many students that are here that want to be involved, that want to do things in the community. And I think Rochester is really good at that.
Same thing you said. We had this conversation earlier before we came in. It's so much to do in Rochester. You just have to change your mindset.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and it's a lot of like going different places and see different styles. We're able to bring those styles here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you walk downtown Memorial Avenue, Village Gate, you see those styles, mm-hmm. you know, different places, different things, and how people are dressing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to get inspired, I just jump on a plane, go someplace else.
Yeah.
As a transplant here, I have to say that, I mean, you couldn't have dragged me here when my husband brought me here, but now you couldn't drag me out of here. And I always say, because I grew up commuting into New York City, I went to FIT, I lived in New Jersey, worked in Manhattan, went to school in Manhattan. And when my husband and I moved to Rochester, life happened here for us because it's easy. Mm-hmm. And everything you need to do, you can get there. Mm-hmm. And people are friendly. But when I first moved here, I would wear like my clothes from Madison Avenue, the boutique I walked in, and I'd go to Wegmans and they'd go, "Where are you going?" I'd say, "I'm going to the supermarket," you know, but so, and that was part of the reason I wanted to start Fashion Week, because I wanted to give people a place mm-hmm. to put on those yeah. beautiful outfits. And
for Rochester to see itself in that way, kind of?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole reason this got started, I was in someone's closet helping them select an outfit and going through their closet, because I do what Chris does as well. I style. And I came across this dress and I said, "This is beautiful. Where do you wear that?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, I wouldn't wear that in Rochester. I'd wear it in Vegas or New York City." And that just really made me think, I want to have an event where people mm-hmm. celebrate their style and wear everything in their closet, because this city is worth it
mm-hmm.
and it's worth your good clothes. And I think, you know, to me, I couldn't be happier that I landed here and raised my two children here.
Yeah.
Lane, do you ever think about moving? I mean, in your career, your life?
Well, I came from, you know, we came from New York City, lived in New York City, came here.
But I mean, you've been here for how many
forever.
Years?
Forever. I grew up here. Then I left and went to Georgetown, did a lot of that kind of stuff. And then I lived in New York City for the first 5 years of my marriage back in the 70s, back here since then. Malcolm was at RIT, so we came back. And
yeah,
then
and
I
in
just,
the last, you know, several decades, did you ever
several
think
decades.
About going else?
No.
Mm-hmm. You never,
never
did.
Never did. You know, I do appreciate, I'm thinking a lot about weather, you know, watching all these terrible situations.
Yeah, really.
And
really,
I'm like,
really.
You know what? Stop throwing shade on a city that gives us like a little bit of rain, but really not that much sun, not that much snow, mm-hmm. lots of sun. Stop. So, you know, it
Come
depends
on. There's snow.
There's not that much anymore.
No, not that
honestly.
Much anymore.
It's
I don't think
sort
so.
Of disappointing.
40 inches last year was crazy.
Yeah, but it was like
Here?
90.
No. 40 is not a lot. We average 100. We
oh,
had
wow.
less than half of our average.
I know.
Last year.
Well, that's the.
It was
well,
not. It was nothing.
It was nothing. So you know the thing about it, the ease of it, the comfort of mm-hmm. it, and I think that's part of it. The other thing that I think we're seeing is a heightened awareness of young people. You know, people like to talk poorly about young professionals. I'm not on that tip, and I've told you that before.
Yeah.
I have
yeah.
so impressed Natalie. I'm deeply in love with her, and she knows it. And it's partly because of who she is and the energy and the commitment and the creativity. And she, like Meg, takes risks. They take risks. They try new things. You're going to see that all over Meg's shows, taking risks. Our kids have to take risks. And so risk-taking, which has always been kind of looked down on, is the way we live now. There's an uncertainty in our lives. We have to be able to take risks and feel comfort in some places. This is a city that gives you comfort. And, you know, obviously I have a different perspective from a political stance and the landscape that I see. But I don't think anything can vie with the beauty of Rochester and the people of Rochester.
I'll see if I can get you to say something negative about something. Ready? Because you're the most positive force. Ready? Do you think people dress like slobs on airplanes?
I'm shocked. I am shocked.
It's
crazy. You know what they wear? They wear basically
pajamas.
Their pajamas.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Striped, but
in Walmart,
I'm also,
too.
I'm also. And then Walmart. I have never been in Walmart. I'm going to go
you're
with
like
you.
A rock star
I've never been in Walmart.
Chris, that's
your
dating pool, man.
That's, that's why that woman said you look so because you were like, you stood out, man. You were like that.
Listen, I've just been taught is when you step outside the house, it's lights, camera, action.
Yeah.
You don't know who. Have you ever
been?
You know what? I'm that way, too, because I'm sort of well-known. I don't want to be, you know, captured doing something stupid. But I think that, and Meg's had the message for years. You know, I just want to say this. Fashion is also your First Amendment right. You know, I'm a constitutional lawyer as well as all the other crazy things. Fashion Week is a statement that is like your First Amendment right. It's your voice. And I think that people, Meg has given people voice in our community. You know, I adore you, so I'm just giving her a little. But it really is true. When you tell young people they can't wear that, they can't do that, you're taking away their voice. This self-expression is so cool. I'm struggling a little bit with Gemma Rose, who wants to wear like a little belly thing. I'm like, that's not, we're going to figure that out.
But this is your granddaughter.
Yeah, she's all self-expressed all the time. But I think that we have to also remember what it feels like to have a voice. And if you don't have a voice, but you can express it in what you're wearing.
Well, that people are just expressing themselves on airplanes.
Well, you
no,
know
they're
what?
Not. They're just
that's,
wearing
no,
no, they're
being
just lazy. Yeah. And they want to be comfortable, but they're sometimes short flights. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and they're not,
I,
if it's not, all right, I'll give you a slight
it's like
pass.
A red eye international flight here.
Exactly.
If it's like a 6 a.m. flight, I can kind of give you a pass.
Or like a midnight to 7 a.m.
Right.
Like
an overnight flight. But if you're on a noon flight wearing your pajamas, that's just, you deserve a fashion summons.
A fashion what?
Summons from the fashion
hilarious.
Police.
I think I've done it.
Great.
I believe I've only done it on like long overnight.
We need fashion
I mean,
police.
There are also nice
also, don't
looking
take your shoes off on planes.
Oh, anyway. No.
I wonder everybody does that.
Nah.
I don't. But
we don't need bare
you know,
feet
but,
on planes.
Let me also say there are nice sweatpants. There are sweatpants
yeah.
that are comfortable,
yeah.
that are leisure wear.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wear something that you actually just slept in.
Do you think you would have said those words 20 years ago? Are you surprised to hear yourself saying that?
What, that people were wearing pajamas?
That there are fashionable sweats.
There probably weren't 20
there
years
weren't,
ago.
There was
it's like you
like
and
your
hammer. You still have your
sweat.
Hammer pants.
Yeah.
You do. You have your hammer pants. And parachute pants are back. I think I wore them last time I was
pair.
On the show. And he has a pair.
Oh, me too.
We might put them on.
We might wear them, you know, Friday. Nah, I'm not doing that.
You have parachute pants? You can pull those off.
I said that on video, huh? Yeah,
yeah. You can pull them off. Now, I was going to ask Natalie Ray as well. Do you think since the pandemic we've gotten too far in the way of comfort?
Ooh.
Sometimes, yes. Yeah, I have to say it.
I think grocery stores and planes are the worst.
Yeah. Planes are the worst. But I went to France this year, and that was like a thing. People were like, oh, yeah, you have to dress up for the plane. I'm like, don't worry, I always do. But they're like, that's like a thing.
In Europe,
they will look you up and down if you are in sweatpants on the plane.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you should have a blazer.
But what about,
don't worry.
What about restaurants? Because it was a couple weeks ago, I was asking someone, like, what's the dress code? And they're like, there's no dress codes anywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, like there's people wearing ball caps in places that are quote unquote high end.
I know.
Right.
And I'm not trying to dog anybody.
Yeah. Right.
That is totally different than a generation ago.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
different.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Look at the men wearing sneakers with suits.
What's that?
Look at the men that's wearing sneakers with suits.
Oh,
I dig that, though.
That was never a big thing.
But are you okay with that?
I do it.
Yeah,
yeah, I love
I
it.
It.
Right.
I actually think it's a modern way to wear a suit,
yeah.
and I think it's a nice way to bring back that formality.
So maybe what you're saying is there's actually probably a stylish way to wear a ball cap in a
yes,
high-end restaurant.
Yes, absolutely.
And then there's a slobbish way
yes,
to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
old school.
Meg's like, she's not getting on board with any hats in restaurants. I can see.
No,
that's
I
me.
Mean, no. I think they're.
Off.
I think
you're in the building.
Yeah,
that's just me.
I like the old school rules a little bit. I think it's just manners, you know?
And just pay attention.
It always swings back, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting back there. The COVID and being really comfortable kind of elevated it to the maximum.
Fashion
I think we're coming
cyclical,
back. Yeah.
Totally. Except the 90s.
Except the 90s.
The 90s. I used to think it was
already,
the 80s.
The 90s are already back.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was not that
long. No, because what about the pants?
That's 90s.
Big wide bells.
Yeah, that's 90s, yeah.
They don't want to hear about the suits with a little bit
the
of
shoulder pads.
Shoulder pads,
oh,
tiny
80s.
Ones.
Shoulder pads.
Not
or
huge
just
ones.
Over everything.
Oversized.
Did not fit, oversized. Mm-hmm. Look at David Spade in an SNL piece from the 90s, and it's like, that coat is four sizes too big.
Yeah. Yeah. No, wait, watch Working mm-hmm. Girl again. I just rewatched it. The
yes.
hairstyle,
the, hair.
The jackets. It is so fun to rewatch because that is really an era. Like, I mean, I know that you're saying shoulder pads are coming back,
yeah.
but they can't bring that hair back that they did in Working Girl. They
nobody
just can't.
Wants that
but
hair.
The
it's not allowed.
There's got to be a limit. Yeah. Listen, somehow we've come to the end of our time. And I just want to say that I always appreciate the conversation, but really at the center of all this is where we started, which is that this is an event that is designed to make sure that organizations that support local kids can do it. So it's fashionweekofrochester.org. It's the 14th edition, and it's happening starting next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, October 24, 25, 26, downtown at the Convention Center, again, fashionweekofrochester.org. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm going to be ready. I'm getting ready.
You're not
ready.
Even close to ready.
Well,
you
Meg
will be
has,
ready.
Meg has her outfits all picked out, and I got to think about it, so I'm not quite ready. But I'm ready for the energy. We will save shelters, and you're going to help us. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for being here. That's Elaine Spall, the co-organizer of Fashion Week Rochester, executive director of the Center for Youth. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Evan.
Great having Meg Mundy back with us, chief fashion organizer of Fashion Week Rochester. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
And thank you to Chris Sumner and Natalie Ray for being with us. Thanks for sharing
your
expertise.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being here. From all of us at Connections, it's Mari and Megan and Evan and Rob saying thank you for listening. We are back with you tomorrow. Whatever, however you're fit, you are welcome to listen to Connections.